Praise the name of Jesus. Well, tonight we're going to begin a new series of teaching. We're going to look at the life of Christ. I looked at there's things I just felt led to that we're coming in, won't be long, it'll be Christmas, and you go into Easter and those things. One of the things is dealing with Jesus Christ, looking at him during his time period of his ministry, what he did. The Bible tells us concerning him, he told the disciples that the things that he did, we would do also. Looking at his life and what went on and what happened, one of the things we're going to begin is looking into the history of the time. If you just read the Bible and just look at Scripture, you really wouldn't know much about the time period. There's a lot you wouldn't know because the Gospels deal with talk about Jesus and his ministry, but they don't really tell you the history of what's going on. Over the years, I've heard many times of Christians say, boy, I wish I would have lived in a time that Jesus walked the earth, and they say that, and I will guarantee you if they would have, they would have hated it. Terrible. It was a lousy time. It was a terrible time. Amen. There's nothing good about it at all. When Jesus came, God sent Jesus into the earth. Israel was in one of their worst times. It's terrible. They're under the oppression of Rome, the religious zealots who ran this everything. As we look on to these things, because if you look from a population standpoint, in the Judea area and those places, about 90% of the people were poor. There's nothing good about it. The Bible says that God sent Jesus, in due time or at the right time. It's number one. You'll usually always find this out. Lots of times moves of God, if you follow history, moves of God never come during good times. Because during good times, nobody's looking for God. Everybody's happy doing their own thing. That's like we're here in America. As long as things run good, nobody's looking for the God. Israel, if we look as nationally standpoint, they talked about the Messiah coming. They were looking for the Messiah to deliver them from Rome. And for good reason, because if you look at Daniel, and the nation of Rome was a type of the reign of the Antichrist. That's what it was. It was a type of the reign of the Antichrist. Most of the known world that time was governed as dominated by Rome. Rome ran it. Rome was godless. They had their gods they worshiped, but they had a lot of paganism, all kind of strange stuff went on. Rome was very oppressive to the nations around it. They were very oppressive to everybody that they ruled and reigned. You either did what Rome said or you're in trouble. So there wasn't anything about it being a good time. So this is, you really don't get a picture from the Gospels of what it was really like, because they don't deal with the history of what was going on. They're just telling you about God's giving the information about Jesus, what he did is came as a Savior to save. If nobody's messed up, there's nothing to save anybody from. So and the whole thing of it is people are looking for deliverance. They want deliverance. They're looking for the time of the Messiah, but they reject the Messiah. Israel rejects the Messiah. That's what they do. You need to understand this, and you can, because you'll find the patterns. This is not anything strange. Israel got in big messes. If you read the history of Israel and look at it over time, the Old Testament, they would get mess up and mess up and mess up, and God would try to turn things around for him and send him prophets and all the things, send stuff around. And for amazing thing, not everybody that's having a bad time and going through terrible things is going to turn to God. They're just going to go to destruction. That's what they're going to do. It is amazing why. Then on the other hand, there's a lot of people will never turn to anything until everything goes bad. The worst thing that people do, and we have it in our society, the American society is, we don't want God to save people. We're going to be their savior. We're going to keep fixing everything we can for them so nothing bad happens. And if it has, we want to take care of it. No, a lot of times you got to let people go through their stuff till they stop and say, hey, God, I need help. That's what people do, and we need to understand. I often thought about it, with my own personal life. I thought, why do I have to let things go as far as I did? But that seems to be the nature of things. I didn't turn because I made some wise decisions. If God had not intervened, I wouldn't have changed. See, many people think, when I came, the idea that I needed to change. I don't think that happens. I mean, mankind proves themselves. I mean, we went through a civil war, and in no time we're in the First World War, and then that wasn't enough. We didn't even kill as many hundreds of millions of people as we could. So we went to the Second World War. Let's get the numbers up. And let's go, and we just keep going and going and going and doing things like that. That's humanity. You know? We're destructive to ourselves. You know, after a while, you know, then people get destructive enough, then they ask God to help them because they need their mess cleaned up. And I found this out over time. I've watched this in Christianity. I watched people do this. They call out for God. God comes and helps them. And as soon as things clear up, they're back to doing what they were doing before. So, I mean, it takes a real effort for individuals that if we're going to follow God. You can't get lax about it. You can't do that. And as we're going to look at some things in history, we find out, especially reading through scriptures, there's a lot of things that are not clear. People, you know, read through things, but lots of times people really don't understand. If you don't understand some things historically, you're not understand what the scripture is really trying to tell you about things taking place. Individuals, you know, everybody gets on this thing like Herod. They hear the name Herod, they think of the same person. It's not. And we have to understand the people, the times we're dealing with. When Jesus Christ was born into the earth, he came into the earth at the time. And in Judea, and all through the areas there were Judea, Samaria, also up in Galilee and all this stuff, there was a king, and his name was King was Herod the Great, who he was under Rome. And Herod the Great was not a good guy. He was did a lot of horrible things. But history looks at this man and all this stuff. He was over there, what they called it all Palestine at that time. And during that time, during his reign, is when the wise men showed up. And as they said, they saw the star of the one that was born, the king. And well, he ended up in Bethlehem killing off all the children that they figured within a few years of what they saw the star. Now, we need to understand this, because you have a guy who's a king, and he can kill off all these kids in a town. And nobody does anything about it, you know. We need to understand, you know, people sit around talking about, oh man, boy, it's so bad today in America. You ain't seen bad. we don't know. I mean, you have a king can go ahead and do that, and he rules and reigns, and Rome says nothing about him doing that. He had a lot of influence and power in a lot of areas and stuff. So he got away with a lot. Now, one thing that he did, it was like, if we look at his first act of office, when he came into office, he slaughtered 45 of the Sadducee leaders and replaced them with the Pharisees, because Pharisees had little interest in politics. They were more or less interested in religious stuff. So he had the Sadducees, what we would call is like the liberal church today. They were religious, but they were more natural. They revolved, politics was a big thing for them. But they were sort of like the woke group. They, open to all kind of, you know, sin stuff and things, and the Sadducees were. But when he came into power, he killed them off. And so what he wants to set things in order of what makes it good for him. He had his wife and two sons. He had them murdered because he feared that they would they wanted to usurp his throne. So, you know, he did these things, and he had authority to do them. You know, this is one of the things, like, people talk about. It's funny when people today talk about Trump being a king. If Trump was a king, he could put anybody to death he wanted to, and you wouldn't be allowed to disobey him. You need to understand what it is to live under kings. See, we have no idea. We read the Bible, Americans have zero idea. You know, Jesus is a king and we're under a king, and we think we have choices. Mm. No, you don't. He's king. Yeah. Here's what we're American. People say this here about that. You know, God's given us the right of free speech and a vote. No, he hasn't. There's nowhere in scripture tells you that. It's not in the Bible anywhere. Yet, they say this all the time here in America. This is what God, their God did. But not the God didn't. God has never given you the right to do anything you want. God has never given you the right. Read in the scriptures. It talks about it in the scripture. Paul wrote about it, about, you know, certain things you don't say or do. You know, and you're not allowed to talk and say things. You're not allowed to say things to people and do stuff. It tells us. It's not free speech like we talk about have today. And so we have American Christianity and we think it's biblical. And it's not. It's not biblical. You know, it's we talk about God's great and this thing and, oh boy, Jesus Christ, he's so wonderful. Well, why won't we let him lord over us? He's a good king and he has a right to ask us to obey. We belong to him. We have been purchased by him. Bible says we're purchased. Well, I think he'd have a little say over me. And rightfully so, he would. You know, I don't fear to serve him. I don't fear. I know he has my best interest, even though sometimes, I don't care who you are. Sometimes you think of what he would want you to do or ask you to do. He ought to ask somebody else to do it, not you. But, but he always has our best interest involved. And so we have to look at that. So we need to get in thinking. I mean, because if people talk about living back in those days, people don't realize what they were living on, the oppression and stuff at the time. It was not a good place to be living. It was not a good thing. It was a hard thing to do. I mean, think about Roman. I mean, you take Rome, Roman soldiers. If you were a citizen of Rome in those times and that stuff, nobody else or any country you went to or any route was under Rome. They couldn't really do nothing to you. And they, it's just like with the Apostle Paul when he was thrown in, beaten and thrown in prison, him and Silas. And they took him and did that to them. And when they came to release him from prison, they told the prison guy to let him go. And he said, the guys who put us in, they got to come down here. Because he said, they put Roman citizens in prison without trial. They got scared. Why? You get put to death for that without a trial. They'll just take you out and kill you. See, those are the times that you're living in. This is the times and the stuff that's going on during this time period. It's not this little cute thing, I don't know, our whole concept. And when we think about the Virgin Mary and stuff and things, and we have our little ideas, and sing our little songs about, there was no place for them in the inn, like it's a boohoo time. Hold it. At that time, Rome, everybody has to return to the place where they, where their really lineage started. It's a very important thing. Why would Rome do that? Because those were the records that were kept by the people. If you went to Israel, that's why you go to Israel, you sit down and read the book of Numbers. It gives you all those lists of people and those names. That's what the Jews did. They kept track by lineages of people. God had them do that. That wasn't man's idea, because the Messiah had to come through a chain and a line of people. And if you can't prove it, he can't be king. He can't be Messiah. It has to be a proven fact. Amen. You have to be able to prove that he came out of the lineage of David. It must be proven. David has to be proven back to who he came from. Or the Bible don't stand. See, we have our own little ideas about this, like God just did things in front. No, he didn't. Everything was systematic. Mm-hmm. Completely systematic. It had to be proven out. So when they told people, when Rome said, hey, you got to go back to the town to how where your lineage was. Now, so we have Joseph and Mary. They have to return to the city of David. So the city of David is Bethlehem. That's where David's lineage came from. From Bethlehem. That's where it came from. So they were of that lineage, and we'll talk about that and read some things about that. Then they had to come back there to that place. Now, all over Israel, all over the other nations, they are going, people are shifting around at that time. Caesar Augustus, it's tax time. Everybody, this is how their records they kept for taxing. To know, you go back to your place. You know, they don't have computers, all this stuff that we have today. You know, they don't have all these things. What we don't understand this, you live in a time, you wouldn't even know America, 100 years ago. Oh, you read things in history, but you ain't got an idea what it's like. They didn't have all the record keeping and that stuff on a lot of stuff. Did you ever sit down and look at record keeping of censuses and stuff in the United States? You want to talk about lousy, incorrect stuff. It was terrible. We look back over to things and of records concerning my own family line. The government, you know what they do? They'd send people out and somebody would give somebody a name. They would, the person who was sent from the government to write it and fill it out, they never asked the person how they spelt their name. They spelled it the way that they thought it should be. So you go looking back in old records, no telling what you're going to see a name's going to be. Ages. Loads of people didn't even know their ages. They didn't know exactly. People out, poor people and that stuff, they didn't keep track of a lot of stuff. You know, my mom and that stuff, with her records, were in Harrisonburg, Virginia. The courthouse burnt down. Everything's on paper. The courthouse burnt. Everybody's records are gone. We aren't talking about 500 years ago. We aren't talking about walls and caves. We're talking about America.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't know how things were and how things went on. You know, we sit and we look at from a standpoint of history. History comes from people who had a lot of money and who lived good and their stuff was all taken care of. But they don't know how the rest of them lived out there. they how things were from record keeping. So it's just like, I mean, it is amazing. One of the things that made Rome so successful was the fact of they knew how to organize and do stuff. Most of the nations didn't. If you realize most of the nations, they weren't very... in fact, most of the nations that ended up dominating and becoming running over all the other nations was because they had good writing systems, good record-keeping systems, and all that kind of stuff. That's why they did. Because the people that didn't, they weren't smart enough to take care of that stuff. They didn't know things. And we need to understand that. It's smart that you would know some things. And, I've met people when it comes down to history, just in our history that we are taught. We're taught basically European history. I remember in school they gave us called world history. What world history? We were never taught a darn thing about the world. We were taught about Europe and what went on over there and those people. That's it. The rest of the world didn't even exist. You know, do you think we realize in the last probably 50 years we have found out about the great populations that were down in South America where they had cities with over 1 million people? We didn't even know that till about 30 years ago. See, we're living in a strange world. So don't think, you know, this is why, is when people sit down like read the Bible, if you don't study certain things, you don't even realize what went on and what happened. And in those days, those things going on, there was probably a good 10 million women having to go out that were pregnant and had to go travel somewhere to go. So Mary wasn't this poor one woman and she's being picked on. That's not what happened. This is the, all under the whole Roman Empire, people are heading back to places, why, this taxation thing going on because of how the, where the records are kept. They don't actually, Rome's smart. They ain't going to spend their money and time chasing these people around. You're going to come to us. You know, it wasn't like the United States. We'll spend $10 million so you're not discomforted at all. We're going to take money from everybody else to keep you so you can stay happy. They didn't do that. They made the people go to the places that they wanted them to. They needed them to be. That's how Rome got to be Rome. It didn't get to be Rome thinking like the people who weren't Rome. So, you know, Israel got themselves in a real mess. They ended up in what they were because of their disobedience to God. This is how it happened. They ended up under oppression because they didn't walk with God. They ended up with other nations dominating and rule them. And so those things happened because of that. And, you know, when Israel did follow God, when you look back and even study from a historical standpoint, if we would look at Israel in the day that Jesus was in, Israel had a lot more going for it under some of the kings that they had times before. In other words, they regressed over the years. They got worse, farther away from God. They got more ignorant. You know, if you want to see something that happens in the world wise, if you follow church history, you can see how the history of the world goes. See, when the Catholic Church got real pagan and stuff, and they went into what they call the Dark Ages. Dark Ages was a terrible time. People who lived before that, time periods before that, had more going for them than what they did during that time. They regressed, lost a lot of knowledge of things. When they turned around and Martin Luther got a revelation of salvation by faith, Christianity started to spread. And when Christianity spread, what spread with it was all kind of new inventions. Came optics, came printing press, all these kind of things started. Before that, I mean, they've been for 100 years writing books by hand. See, the Dark Ages, we need to understand this, moves of God. You take United States, 1950s, United States has a big move of God. In 1960, we go to the moon. Yeah. Technology, it follows, it's what it is. Revelation comes from God, and it ain't just Bible revelation. Wisdom of men to do stuff. Amen. Comes. Blessing comes with it. This is why following history is understanding history. We understand the history of their time. What happens is Israel was, the Messiah comes along, 70 years after the Messiah leaves, Israel generally as a nation rejected the Messiah, and what happens? Their cities destroyed, the temples burned, and they're all dispersed. Isn't until 1948 they get to return to their land. All that happened to them has happened because of rejection of Messiah. You can blame it on anything you want. You can say Adolf Hitler. Not for Israel. Israel's problem was the rejection of Messiah. The Bible tells us. See, we have our own ideas and our own things that we say today, but it is one thing, it isn't. Until Israel accepts their Messiah, it keeps going downhill. And you know what? It's like this in the earth with everybody. If things go down, you can't reject the Messiah. Things don't go. America's where it is because we've had moves of God, but the people have strayed away from it. People have strayed away from it. It always costs. Always costs. It's just the way that things go. And so this is why it's important to understand things about history and history of the time. You know, people say, you know, history, if you don't, you're going to repeat itself. Well, today the smartest people, who they consider the smartest people, I don't care what they know about the past, they'll repeat it. If you don't follow God, you're going to repeat your past. And if your past stank, you're going to have another stink. That's what is going to happen to it. You just repeat it. I know that. I mean, my life wasn't improving. It wasn't getting better. You know? All those New Year's and the new Year's resolutions. And the next year stank. Yep. You know, the next year you're back and messed up, you know. You just get drunk enough or drugged enough or something enough, you know, make yourself feel good, act like you're having fun. And, you know, you go through that whole thing, but it ain't working.
That's right.
So we're looking at this history standpoint. So when we look in this time here, people and the things going on, you know, there is, if you think about all the things, if you look from a history standpoint, I mean, when plagues and stuff and things that went through Europe and stuff, the population, I mean, like, you know, Europe, during the times of the plague and different other plagues that came through Europe, I mean, you're talking about maybe over almost close to 3/4 of the population dying. It's hard for people to understand that, you know. We talk about, like, you know, people say, like, a Second World War. I think he said, all told, the Second World War killed almost 70 million people. That was civilians. You know, people always talk about the military and how much military. But so many civilians died, you know. And I'll tell you, we know how to kill them. And that didn't happen by God. That wasn't God's idea. That was man's. It was man's idea. People didn't learn. They say, well, you know, we learn from history. That's never happened. I mean, we got God's book. I mean, God gave us the book, Old Testament. You think we learned from that thing? No, let's repeat what Israel happened to Israel. Let's do it again. I'll tell you, let's take another trip in the wilderness. What do you think? We haven't had enough of them yet. Now just think about Israel. That's what they're in. And there's what there's going on them. They're in the wilderness during the time when Jesus comes. They're in the wilderness. They're out there in the dry land. They're out there and it's messed up. God sends them the Messiah. But they reject the Messiah. We're looking for the Messiah. Why is it? Because they had their idea of what the Messiah was going to be, not what God said. We know from a scriptural standpoint, we know that the Messiah, what they were looking, they thought that naturally if things got fixed, everything would be all right. Well, do it. There need to be a spiritual correction. And this is why the Messiah came. Because you didn't need more money. You didn't need a better car. You didn't need a better house. You didn't need none of that. What you needed was saved. You needed, you were a child of the devil. That's what you were.
Yep.
I was a child of the devil, and I was a good kid of the devil, you know. We were a child of the devil. That's what we were. Man had to be fixed, and the fix was the only thing that God could do. If that is not changed, humanity will keep repeating what it does. It'll never stop.
Amen.
Man needed a spiritual fix. They thought it was all about a physical fix, you know. You know, the Messiah is going to come and he's going to take over Rome and that stuff and he's going to do that. He's going to set us free. He's going to set all those heathens free to do the heathen what they're doing. See, they didn't understand that they needed changed. It was something that is hard to be brought around. They're under this real oppressive king at this time. Now, one thing that, you know, this guy Herod's smart, because Herod, he worshipped a lot with the Roman gods and that stuff, but he went and built the Jews, the temple that was there at the time that Jesus came into the earth. And that temple, I mean, it was hugely expensive, and it was a magnificent temple. It was a great temple. And he built that is number one. He did that for the Jews. He wants to keep them happy. He keeps them over there. See, the religious ones happy. They keep it happy with their religion. You know what? They'll ignore a lot of stuff that goes on. You know, he turned around and he built that temple for them. He copied a lot of it was off the plans of Solomon's temple that he did and he built at that time. So, but he himself, he openly worshiped Roman gods and things like that. And a lot of things went on, and it was for a purpose. He wanted those people so they could worship their God. He's just maintaining control of power. And really, that temple becomes a control of power. Just like I gave it to you, I can take it from you. So they play along to that game. He ended up dying, and dying pretty quickly. They believe was probably of an intestinal cancer is what he died of. Now, when he turned around and died, he came along and died. What is there as we look in Jesus' time this happened? Because when Jesus was born, Joseph took Mary and the baby by what an angel said and left and went to Egypt because of Herod wanted to kill, you know, whoever this offspring was. He wanted to kill him. So an angel came and told Joseph them, you guys need to leave, need to go. Well, Herod ended up dying. And we need to understand this. When he died, Rome stepped in because Herod the Great held a lot of power, and it was certain things in that stuff that he held that made it difficult for Rome sometimes to do what they wanted to do because they couldn't just go push this guy out of the way. He held a lot of power. Well, when he died, Rome stepped in, and what did? They broke up his Palestinian kingdom, and he broke it up to his three sons. And now they weren't kings anymore. These guys are treacherous, or, you know, like a governor of an area. And he gave it to was Herod Achilles. So when Jesus came back into the land, if you find out from Egypt, he came back, that when Joseph came back, he found out that Herod Achilles was the guy who was in charge in Judea. So he was running down in the area of Judea and Samaria. That's where he governed. Just that part. Now, so when Jesus came in, when his parents brought him back, they didn't want to go there because there was a problem that started off at that time, because he was only in power for 2 years. It was during the Passover. There's a riot that broke out in Jerusalem, and Herod Achillas killed about 3,000 people. Well, he couldn't get away with that like his daddy did, and Rome jerked him out of his position and sent him to France, and said to the French people, "You get him." No, he wasn't. I don't think he was really in charge there. They just shipped him off. Said, "Hey, you know, you're out of here." And so he was removed, and who came in was Pontius Pilate. So they turned around, who was a military commander, who was bought in and put as governor over there. Why? Because they knew that he would answer to Rome. He would be Rome's guy. And so they put him in. But Achillas was really, he was really a bad dude. Like his dad, he said he treated the Jews and the Samaritans very cruelly. And that's why Joseph and them didn't want to come. So Joseph and Mary went up to Galilee, which was outside of what Achillas held. He wasn't running that area up in Galilee. So that's all been changed. Now before Herod ran the whole show of all through the areas there. And so, we have back here as a fact is what happens when the Jews and some of the Samaritans, they went to Rome and protested about this guy. Rome said, "That's it, you're out of here." And then Pontius Pilate came in. Pontius Pilate was there from 26 AD to 36 AD. So the Roman procurators over Judea and Samaria during that time, he was there over the crucifixion time. That's what he was in. So it's good to understand this when you read this thing about who was actually in charge and why things shifted around, because these names are mentioned in the scripture. Lots of times people, when they talked about Herod, when I was a kid and taught in church and they used the name Herod, you'd talk to God, same guy all the time. But it wasn't. It was different people. And so it's one of the things that I found is after I got saved and began to study that there's a lot of things from scripture-wise that really we were told they didn't really have an idea about. They didn't know. They just, you know, everybody just tried to figure out things that they read, something said in the Bible, but really didn't find out. Now, there was Herod. There was a Herod. He was Philip the Tetrarch. He reigned from 4 B.C. to 34 B.C. Now, he ruled the area north of the Sea of Galilee. Was Bethania and Peneas. His reign, he was a peaceful guy. People liked him. He gained his fame as a builder. He was a really builder during, he did a lot of things, building a lot of stuff during his reign in those areas. But Jesus did do some ministry in his area. In his area where he was at, you'll find he went over from the Sea of Galilee and went across the demoniac and all those kind of things took place in his reign of his area. Then there was Herod Antipas. Now he was from 4 BC after his father's death to 39 AD. So he ruled in the area of Galilee and Perea. That's where he was at. He's the foremost mentioned Herod in the gospel. In other words, the gospel, because the majority of Jesus' ministry was done in his area. It wasn't down in Jerusalem. See, people always think of Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. Jesus didn't minister a lot in Jerusalem. He didn't minister in it. He was in Galilee, and the majority of his ministry took place up in the areas of Galilee and up in those areas. That's the Herod that he went before his trial, and then was sent to Pontius Pilate. So we need to know that. See, he's not down. When a lot of people think about it, we find there were the times that Jesus went down to Jerusalem, but most of his time, his ministry is up in the areas of Galilee. And that's one of the things is that we deal with the Pharisees, you know, they made statements about that, because he's called a prophet, and they said, well, you know, there's nowhere in Scripture says a prophet in Galilee. You know, what's a prophet in Galilee? You know, and they didn't realize that there was a prophet of Galilee. They didn't realize he wasn't from Galilee. He was from Judea. That's where he was born. He was born in the city of David, and so, which they weren't familiar with that. Now, this what you'll find out, this Herod Antipas, this is the one where John the Baptist rebuked him for taking his brother Philip's wife. That in the scriptures, you'll find that if you read over in Matthew 14, I'm not going to go over to them, Mark 6 and verse 17 and 18. and Luke 3:19. If you go over and read those are the areas where this is the Herod that John the Baptist rebuked for this. And so Jesus called him and used him in Luke 13:32, called him a fox. And Jesus was brought before him, Herod Antipas, at his crucifixion trial. So this is the one. This wasn't Herod the Great, the one that was in the beginning. So it was him. So he was taken there. Why? Because most of Jesus' ministry was done in the areas of Galilee. But he's the one who shipped him off down to Pilate. He didn't want to deal with it. So what he did, he was smart in a way. I don't want to deal with this thing, so I'll send him down there. So, you know, it's out of my hands, so if something happens, you can't blame me. So a lot of people do those kind of things. I refuse to make a decision, so I'm going to let somebody else make it. And they'll be the bad person. They're going to do what I wanted to do, but didn't have the guts to do it. Now, in Jesus' day, it's a society. There was a huge distinction in the society in those days between the Jews and the Gentiles. There was no love lost. I mean, if you take the Jews wouldn't even go into a home of a Gentile to eat. You weren't allowed to do that. You'd become unclean. When religion runs in that manner, it makes it very difficult to make friends along lines. So when we deal with Rome, what we call with the Pharisees and them, which more what we would call today Orthodox Jews, and they didn't get along well with Rome. They didn't do. When we see the Pharisees and what they did to have Jesus crucified, and they really joined together with Pilate and that stuff, they went and joined themselves. That was all an act to get what they wanted. They hated the Romans. They hated them. But you know what? They would lie and cheat with any group they could to get what they wanted. You'll find this religion is no different today.
Amen.
It is of zero different today. To get what they want. I watch groups align with each other to do something evil because they didn't like somebody or something. And people will do it to get what they want. And that sort of becomes an origin. So there was also a hard distinction between the people who were religious and the ones who weren't. Men and women were not considered equal. In fact, lots of ways of women were more considered as property in those days. And see, that's why people don't say, I like to live in Jesus' day. Yeah. I've heard women say that. Say, yeah, sure. You'd have sure really loved it. You'd have had a great time. things were nothing like when we talked about today the way that things are. We don't have a comparison. We don't have a comparison to us here today. We don't. What goes on in our nation? Well, there was a sharp division over how much you should bow to Rome. And so, in other words, they had a hard thing on Rome and how far you were going to go to listen to what Rome wanted. A lot of them were at the same point. They didn't like Rome, but there's one thing. When Rome yelled and said what they wanted, they were going to eventually end up doing it or be dead. But, it's one thing of it is, we might, and especially under rule, we have to understand this from reading Scripture. In the New Testament, when we talk about obedience to a leader, we might not agree with certain things, but if something is not a sin in the Bible, I often thought about this. If we talk about our revolution, they talk about it started over taxes. People would start a fight over taxes, being taxed a lot. We'll kill each other over that, paying too much for taxes. Yet the Scripture tells us to pay taxes to whom taxes are due. We can say stuff, but we need to watch how we complain and what we do. The Bible tells us, if you don't obey your leaders, you don't obey God.
That's right.
Now think about Paul. Paul's under Rome. Do you know he wrote that from Rome? Or letter to Rome? Do you know that? He wrote it to the Roman Christians. Shame he didn't write one to the United States. Well, that one was deionized, but we don't take it as ours. And we need to understand, I may not like, you know, somebody, they have things I don't do. Now, if they have things that are against what God says I can do, then I'm going to have to, you know, if they say you can't preach the gospel, well, I'm sorry, the Bible tells me to. I'm going to sit under the higher authority. But you need to understand this. You need to be willing to put up with the punishment of what it is if you do it.
That's right. Yep.
If you ain't willing to do that, sit down and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that we need to understand. It's like, you know, when Paul in writing, because we're dealing with these things because of our government. Is God really witnessed this to me when we were going through our, you know, with the Biden administration and things going on and listening to Christians talking and doing and stuff, and it's like too much was said that should never been said. Too much was this, you know. It's just like, you know, they make fun of Biden all the time because, you know, of his mind going and all this kind of thing and stuff like that. I wonder how these people, Christians, think that God feels about him doing that and saying that. We need to be very careful about these things because we see these things, they're going on. It's with our country, you know. We have so much division and stuff in our country and things and stuff like that. We don't realize what we're doing. We're setting ourselves up to be dominated by other nations.
Yep.
We're setting ourselves up for it. Because you get in this big divide, you don't want to end up in a war. Ain't going to go well. You got all these divided people and all these things because what we'll do is, we'll spend all of our time blaming somebody how we got into the war when it's everybody's fault. We'll be complaining. We won't be fighting the enemy. We'll just be trying to kill each other. That's what we do, you know. And we need to be careful about these things. We had this. It was a great divide between the very rich and the very poor. And there was a huge divide. You take worldwide today, like we talk about in our nation, we talk about poor. I heard a guy say this, and he said, isn't it interesting they were saying about the SNAP payments weren't going out and all these people starving? He said, and the Democrats didn't take pictures of all these starving kids and send them out there and everybody could see them. He said, if it's all these starving kids, we should get pictures of it. Well, wouldn't you think so?
Yep.
Where are all these starving people? And well, see, we live in this place. We don't... living here in America, Americans don't really know what the rest of the world puts up with. We're the rich folks. People you call poor here in America are rich folks compared to the world. I'm a very rich person compared to the rest of the world.
That's right.
I'm really rich. I am really rich. If you take comparison, it's like Ed's a multi-millionaire compared to much of the world. And see, we need to get thinking, because what we do is like, if we can see it on this scale of what went on there, look from a worldwide perspective, it's the same way. We have the super rich nations, and we have the super poor nations, and we have these, and the biggest gripers and complainers are the super rich nations. They're the ones griping and moaning all the time about how life's hard, and you know, I had to get out of bed this morning and go to work. My God, what has this place come to? Government's supposed to take care of me, you know. I mean, people don't understand this. Majority of the nations you go to in this earth, there's no welfare systems. There's no SNAP programs. There's none of that. None of that goes on. I mean, you just cross our border, go down to Mexico. I wonder why the Mexicans and all of them want to come in South America, when they want to come up here. It's free mealtime. It's free. Because they have none of this. There's no programs to take care of them. That's why they come here. Because they have people here saying, ah, we got to take care of everybody. We got.
Yep.
It's just crazy. So it's naturally that they would come here. You know, we shouldn't think it's weird. It's natural they will do it. come to be taken care of. But there's a huge difference than we have today in those things. So, hallelujah. So we're living in a time. I mean, you look with, everybody's looking at Jesus coming back. You know, we talk about a great move of God. Well, you think in Israel, when Jesus was the Messiah's walking the earth, was that a great move of God? Would everything go great? I'll tell you, ain't going to be no different on second trip Jesus coming to the church. Ain't going to be no different.
That's right. Amen.
You think are things getting really better? People are just getting better. I'll guarantee you, he came the first time in a mess, and he's coming back again in a mess.
Amen.
And then when he comes back to set up his kingdom, there's a real mess. God shows up in the messes. That's when he shows up. Everybody has this idea, we're going to make everything really good. You know, there was these people that, back when, in the 80s, a lot of the major ministries, I mean, even Copeland and those guys were all preaching this, you know, we're going to take over everything in the churches, and then Jesus is going to come, we're going to turn the kingdom over to him. They were preaching that stuff. And I thought, I asked for that translation, that Bible they had. I couldn't find it in mine. I had a couple of translations, and I read them, and they didn't have it in them. But people get over there, they get over on the word. Those were hyper-faith people. Our faith, we're just going to take over everything. Well, Jesus couldn't take over everything with his faith. There's a good chance you won't.
Amen.
Didn't you think he had a faith problem? He didn't have enough faith?
Nope.
70 AD ain't going to happen because Jesus has enough faith. And Peter, he had a bunch of faith. This stuff ain't going to take place. They killed him. So, this is why we need to, you know, there's a lot, this is why you want to study history, because it will repeat itself. See, I found patterns over the years of studying. That's one of the things, is our church history I had in Bible school, who was taught by a guy, Minister Cooper Beatty, who was an awesome teacher. But one of the things he taught us was the fact is, you follow the church, and how the church and spirituality is the way the world goes. And you know what? The cycles just repeat themselves over and over in history. The church goes down the tubes, everything gets lousy. The church sparks up some, God moves, does all kind of wonderful things, and every time, before you know it, the church is back into their junk again. It's just like today. We came out of a 1950s healing revivals, into the 1960s, into the teaching and the charismatic renewal, into the 70s and early 80s. And look where we are today. You would have thought there's never a revival in America.
That's right.
You look at those moves of God that God did. And I'm going to tell you what. This is one of the reasons why we don't see a move today. Is because we're in the middle of a generation of people who saw all these moves of God who don't walk with God today. And until they're dead and gone, nobody enters the promised land.
Mm. Wow.
People need to understand how this stuff works.
Mm.
The rebellious children of Israel, nobody went into the land till they were dead. You can pray night and day about things. You better understand some things and get out of this fantasy Christian world. The patterns are in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. And you find out why. I've, for years, and I've watched this, I know people that I've known in that stuff during the moves of God just when I was in the kingdom. And were they, how they walk today. And they're just nice religious people. That's all they are. And they came through moves of God. They saw all kinds of stuff. They don't walk like none of that took place. They don't walk like any of that stuff. You know, they're just nice religious people and don't like this. Oh, you know, look at all these bad people and, oh man, our government's bad. No, you're bad. That's what's wrong with it. It's when you think you're good, you're not. That's the worst thing that ever happened. I'm not wonderful, God is.
Amen.
When men lose sight of that, We're not saved by our goodness. We're saved by His goodness. Men lose that. That's what they lose. People become to thinking they're good. They're all right. No man is good without God. He's worthless without God. When man thinks that he's good and he's all right, he's in trouble immediately. That's when the trouble starts. Hallelujah. Thank God he's good and he's merciful. Hallelujah. I just thank him all the time. He ain't let the devil kill us all. You know, we can't turn around and say we didn't deserve it. We can't say we didn't earn it. We tried. But he's been good. But you keep your thoughts and things right about stuff and keep yourself in the right direction. When I think about Jesus' day, about the common person. Now the common person, you know, this is the majority of the poor people. The common person, people were considered unclean by the religious governing leaders. They didn't even think that those people were savable. Can you imagine your religious leaders? We got religious leaders today. I'm really concerned about. What they do is for them, just like the Pharisees did. What they do is for their own good. The poor, we need to understand this. The poor lived in villages. They were unprotected. They weren't walled. There was bands of men who roamed and stuff the countryside, who opposed the governments and stuff. But they would rob and steal from people all the time. I mean, in Jesus' day, Jesus used the fact from the road to Jericho. The road to Jericho up to Jerusalem was nothing but a place of bandits that ran all the time, and people traveled there. They were, you know, mugged and beat up all the time. This was the poor people out there. This stuff's going on. They talk about today. We don't even know what crime's like. In their day, when they were living around there, what the crime was like? I'll tell you this, it's proof though, the wages of sin is death. It brings all this junk on. But see, they had it in their time. And so the poor people and that stuff, they weren't protected out there. Rome didn't have soldiers out there to protect those people. Rome didn't care what happened to those people. It didn't matter. And so Rome didn't do it. And the religious people and the Jews didn't care about it. The rich Jews, they didn't care anything about it either. They didn't bother about those people. Many of the poor people in those days would sell themselves into slavery. They would do it so they could have something. So they could have some kind of life of taking care of some and have to eat. May not have been a great life, but it was better than a lot of them had it. If they were owned by somebody rich, they were looked after. At least from a property standpoint, they were worth something. See, we don't think along those lines and that kind of stuff. When people talk about Jesus today, we don't find this kind of stuff. But yet Jesus talked about the slavery and the things of his day. Do you know Jesus never said any of it was wrong? Never did. The apostles wrote about it. They never said it was wrong. There's a lot said about it in the Bible. And yet, boy, the church will go hide and don't talk about it at all. If any group's not going to talk about it and bring things out in the open, the church won't. I mean, think what Paul made statements concerning the years of slavery. He talked about a person who was a slave and he had their master. They were supposed to work and treat their master right. Then it told, if a guy was a Christian and he had slaves, he was supposed to treat them in a certain manner and stuff. But he never said back and forth. He said, no, see, if you're a Christian, you have slaves, you got to sell them all. He didn't say none of that. None of that was said. Well, don't you ever find those things interesting?
Yes.
But please don't say it, because people won't like you if you say it. It's in the Bible. But it tells you your conduct. I mean, listen to what Paul said. Paul said said the guy who was a Christian, a slave, he said he was a free man. Said he was a free man. That's what he was. He was free. See, God's idea of freedom and man's ideas of freedom are not the same things.
That's right.
Yeah. See, we need to know, there's loads of people today The average American is bound and in prison. The average Christian in America is bound and in prison. They don't walk into freedom that they have, the freedom God gave them. We're not free because everything works out in my favor, and we're not. That's not the way this thing, the system runs. I mean, if you would go by it, I mean, why would God send His Son in the middle of a mess? Because He had to live in the mess, you know. Do you think He was a free man? Not according to the standards we think today, and we put going up.
Right.
We wouldn't at all. I mean, He was a guy, and He turned around, and it's tax time, and He didn't complain. He paid His tax.
Yep, that's right.
What a troublemaker He was! I tell you. But the religious leaders of that time, the Pharisees, who were the ones who, they were the big job on the religious leaders. They taught that the poor should not be allowed to testify in court, a court of law. The poor people shouldn't be, you know. Poor people, you know, thereby you can't trust them. They're no good, you know. It's us guys on the top with the bucks. Now I want you to think about how many of these in this group was. There was only about 6,000 of these guys, of Pharisees. That's about how large a group was. But they were rich, and they ran the show from a religious standpoint. They ran it. They controlled in those areas. They controlled the synagogues and that stuff. You didn't do what they want, you were kicked out of the synagogue. You weren't allowed to go there. Those kind of things went on. So, but the Pharisees taught also that, you know, poor people, you can't trust them with any kind of secrets or any kind of things like that. You can't trust them with anything. A poor person was not allowed to be made a guardian over an orphan to another relative. They were allowed to do that. Probably the child would end up into slavery and put off into something. You weren't allowed to. So I want you to think about this. So in Jesus' time when He comes, the majority of the people are poor. You talk about oppression. We don't have any idea. They didn't have voting rights. They didn't have any of those things. They didn't have nothing. We talk about today, and people talk about problems. We don't know what trouble is. Not in comparison. I often find this interesting. We go to history to find this, but we see Jesus didn't come and try to change the social system. Why? It's the same way. The church today is always trying to change the social system. Men need changed. The majority of the money spent in the church is to change social systems. That's what it's spent.
Yeah.
It's not spent to preach the gospel. It's not spent to get people saved. If man's not changed, you can't change the social system.
That's right.
People got to be changed. And we need to, that's the thing that we need to understand. You know, there was no intermarriage between the rich and the poor, you know, or anything like that. So there was really deep segregation among the people. I mean, you think the deep segregation we're talking here is among the Jews, their own people. But you find the same thing. You find it out, you know. You get around groups, I don't care who they groups are. People talk about racism today and white, black, you know, the Chinese and, you know, whoever else. We talk about this stuff. I'm sorry, every one of the groups has a lot of racism in their group.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
They did, you know. When I was in the service, this one guy, the black guy and I, we got to be really good friends, and he was really dark black. And see, to me, when I came in, so I didn't know about this stuff. But here I found out there was a lot of blacks that didn't like it. He was too black. Then you had the ones that were sort of in between, and you had the ones that were real light. And these ones didn't like the ones that were real light, and these guys didn't like these. And so I found out, well, I found they were the same way, you know. The white people, you know, you had curly hair or something. They didn't like it. Everybody in the group, I found among the Spanish. This one Spanish kid used to hang out with us. And then he started talking about the problems that they had between them. The different Spanish, so they didn't get along with each other either. They had their, you know, the whole, you cannot, when people say one person's race against another, I'm going to tell you what, you're a racist if you even talk about that and do it. You're a racist. Because every group's got it. Everybody's, it's in every group, and it's among their own people, toward each other.
Yeah.
You know? You ain't white enough, or you're too white, or you're too this. Or you, it's everybody got their junk. And that's because of the devil. And that's because people are like him. And the people who scream racist the loudest are usually racists. What would they do it? Why? To hide what they are. Don't really check me out. I was really, when I went to the services as a kid, I was 17 years old when I went, I was really pretty naive, you know, about people and the stuff that went on. And it really, I couldn't believe it when I got around out there, you know, because you'd find groups of guys that come along and say, you know, you should be hanging around over there. I mean, I had this black kid and I hanged out with each other and that stuff, and they told him, what are you doing hanging out with this white guy? Why do you hang around with this stuff? You don't hang around with the white guy. And, you know, and it's like he told me, he said, well, I don't like to hang around them. You know, they're not, he said, you know, but see, you get into everybody's group had something against you. There's guys that went, what am I doing hanging around with a black guy and a Spanish kid? What am I doing that for? You know, I didn't realize this stuff, you know, went on. I just, you know, this was all new to me out there going on. And so, and I found this out. Everybody's trying to get me to be a racist. Everybody's trying to get me to be a racist. That's the thing. People run around this race stuff today. It's all about making people racists. The devil is the divider. That's why you want to get born again. I can give a rip. I don't care what color you are. They paint you purple. It don't matter. Whatever. Maybe you want to paint you purple. Have at it. I don't care. Let's get over this stupid stuff. My God. You know, they say, you know, beauty is skin deep, but ugliness is to the bone. And it is. And it is true. You know, it don't matter. You know, I just can't. I can truthfully say this. That's right. I have less trouble with race problems leaving America than you do living in America.
That's right.
I've been to numbers of different nations. I have never gone to any nation where a lot of people haven't treated me really good. Other cultures, people treat me nice. And I'm nothing like their culture. I'm nothing, but they treat me nice. And you come back to America and it's nothing but stupid. Educated above our intelligence. Just as dumb as a stick, thinking we're bright. You know? It's like, dear God. Everybody's brothers, you know, running around. And I mean, it's just totally... I don't get the color thing. I just don't get it. It's just stupidest thing in the world. You know, nobody owes me nothing. You know? Some person that's... You know, I feel as though, you know, somebody there... Family member back, you know, 200 years ago was a slave. You shouldn't be getting money because they were treated bad. Get a job. Don't ever, because you know, the people who do that are going to go nowhere in life because they're looking for somebody else. It doesn't work and it won't work. It can't work. God set up a system that works and you either follow it or you're going to destruction. I don't care what people think is that, oh, you know, we gotta take care of this person. Yeah, they had a hard time. I'll tell you what, I had a hard time with life. It was me. It wasn't until I'd found out that it was Ed was the problem. And until you find out that I was the problem, it don't change.
That's right. Yeah.
Here's
some truth.
Amen. I mean, if I sit around, no, I didn't have it in life near as tough as my dad did. My dad was an indentured servant. You know, he's a little kid. 9 years old. Out to go work in the farm. Got himself a pair of shoes and a pants. You know, every year. 9 years old. He works in. Slaves away. 11 years old. He's working in mines. You know, who's going to give him any money? And one thing I say, my dad never complained at all. Never complained about his life. That was his success in life. He never complained about it.
Amen. That's right.
He just kept doing something. He was a guy who went through the depression and he told us this. He said, he wasn't a saved man during the depression. I said, I'll always have a job. He said, I always had a job. He said, loads of the men around me never had jobs. He said, but I always had one. Because he said, I told people, I'm going to work. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. I'm going to do it. Whatever I do. And he did all the time he worked.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't wait around for the government to get him a job.
Amen.
And see, we need to understand, you know, that's where I was born and raised, you know. You take care of yourself. You don't wait around some. You know, you do something for somebody else, but you don't wait around people to do everything for you. You don't. That isn't what you wait. You do something.
Amen. That's right.
You work. You do something.
Yes, sir.
You improve yourself. You don't wait for somebody else to do it for them. And, you know, my parents, they worked hard. I mean, they went through a lot of stuff, and they did things, and that, you know, and I'm glad, you know. They expected a lot out of us. We weren't patted and petted. I was 17 years old. I went in the Army. You know, I was just reading an article today in Fox News, and it made me mad how brutally they are training soldiers today. And I looked what the brutal training is. It's the stuff I went through when I was 17 years old in the Army. It ain't brutal. You're going to war. You better get your butt in gear.
Amen.
Brutal. Yeah. Making you work. That's brutal. I'm going to tell you what. Brutal training. See, this is the kind of stuff we got going on today. We have a pansy nation, pansy people. Every little thing's hard to do. My discomforts. You know, Braden was talking to me about yesterday about what it was like. You know, I was in Vietnam and that stuff, and how you lived. I said, well, it's just, this is the way it went. You know, you were there. I was, you know, in Nam, and I, you know, you didn't have the comforts of home. I said, we didn't complain about it. I said, it was just, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, it was dry in the dry season, and I said, then dust was in everything, and everything around you were. I said, monsoon come along, and everything was wet. And I said, you went to bed at night, and I said, your bed was wet. It was damp. I said, we didn't think a thing of it. That's the way it was. I said, Mommy, you're treating me bad over here. That's why I said, you know, today, I mean, I went in 17 years old in the service. Most 17 years old, I wouldn't want to even be around them today. I mean, you don't want to be around them in the Army. I mean, for sure. People talk about what's hard to do. I can tell you this truthfully. I went in the Army. I never had it hard at all from the standpoint of doing anything. My parents raised us to do stuff, you know.
Amen.
The fact that they made you listen and go do things, and you had to work, and some days you even sweated. My God. What brutal. I mean, it was so terrible. But I never thought it was all terrible. It was a hard thing to do. I had a nephew, and he went in, and that was during the time you could go in, and if you didn't like it, you could go leave. And that's what he did. But he's a whining jerk to begin with, and that stuff. And his mommy made him that way. But see, we're living in a world. This is why, you know, we don't understand what people are going through. God. The thing that makes a difference in mankind is if they get born again.
That's right.
And get out of, especially, we got to change the way we think as Americans here and this stuff about Christianity. No matter how trouble is, I'm not troubled.
Amen.
I'm not troubled. Amen. I can go to sleep at night. It ain't because everything goes good. It ain't because I have everything good. My God, if I die, I end up in heaven. What an awful thought. I mean, what a terrible, terrible thing's going to happen to Ed. He's going to go to heaven. He's going to go to a place and there ain't no race junk going on there.
Amen.
Everybody likes each other. You want to get a bus tonight? But you know what? I'm just going to tell you. You can have that in you now. You don't have to wait.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
You just got to break from that thinking. We don't realize how much we're demonically oppressed.
Yep.
We are demonically oppressed. We allow these demons to keep hammering us with stuff and we accept it. And we become demonically oppressed in our thinking. And what it does, it troubles us, it wears on us.
Mm-hmm.
The problems that everybody, you know, well, You wouldn't be in the trouble you are today if somebody, if this person would have did this or this. Hold it, hold it. I stopped that a long time ago.
Yes.
You know? I used to think, God, my parents would have done better. And I'm surprised they did well with me as they did. Dear God, putting up with me. But see, one thing when I decided in life, I don't care if somebody else did something. I'm not going to throw it over to them. Amen. Number one, I got to walk in love. Whether they did something or not, I got to forgive and get away from it.
Yes, amen.
I got to forgive. I don't care how ugly it seems or what they did. I got to forgive. Because why? I'm going to tell you what. We say, well, they're for their sake. For your sake. It will wear on you and the devil will have you for lunch.
Amen.
If he can get you to keep holding animosities and holding things, he'll have you.
Yep.
He'll oppress you, your thoughts and mind.
Mm-hmm.
My freedom is this. I can think right.
Amen.
If you can't think right on things, you're oppressed.
Yep.
You're oppressed. See, we would have come. Freedom comes to this. It's not devoted. It's not a thing. I can live in freedom. In the middle of trouble, I can still be at rest. I can still have confidence in God. I can still put my trust in Him. Troubles are going on. It may not be fun. My flesh may not be happy about it. But I'm going to tell you what. I can have peace of mind just like peace is in my heart.
Amen.
The same peace that passes all understanding, it said, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Look what Paul wrote and said when he said that. What you're supposed to think on.
Mm.
Whatever's good, what's ever pure, what's right and holy. Well, we don't do that as Christians in America. And that is our problem. You think on the right things. Trouble's going on, you don't think about the trouble that's going on.
Amen.
You put your mind on what's good, what's right.
Amen.
And you know what? Then Paul wrote, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, thinking right.
Amen.
If you don't, I will tell you this, the devil will oppress you by your thoughts.
Amen.
By your thoughts. He'll oppress you. He'll turn around and get you mad at it and then turn around and make you feel guilty for getting mad about it.
Yep.
He's ugly. He's mean. He does something. He will turn around and get you over in an area and drag you there and then turn around and criticize you for being there.
Yep.
Yep. That's what he does. He's ugly. And so get yourself over of how we set ourselves in our thinking. I got to stop there. I'll tell you, there's an anointing night going on in this thing. But we need to understand this. As we're living in a time, as we look at Jesus' ministry, I think we can learn a lot if we understand about what is happening going on in the time. How did he walk in that time that he was in? Was he a complainer about all this bad stuff going around? He don't even mention it. He just looks at people. He wants to bless them. He doesn't run around. He's criticizing the government. He's not doing those kinds of things. Yet he's living in a mess worse than America is.
Amen.
Worse than our political system. He's got going on, and he doesn't. God, I want to be like that. Don't you?
Amen.
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 Thanks.
You think he was walking at peace and rest?
Yes.
I think he was. See, I want to learn how to do that. I wonder how to be like that when a lot of trouble is going on. That's what I want to know.
Amen.
That's what I want to do. Because I'm just telling you, your Christian faith will never take you to the place where you won't have troubles or problems. In this world, Jesus said himself, there's tribulation, there's trouble.
Amen.
He said, I've overcome it. How did he overcome it? Amen. Inside, the inner man.
Amen.
The inside.
Amen.
That inside is full of, your inner man is full of life of God. The Holy Spirit's in you. And He wants you at rest and at comfort in the middle of your trouble that you're not afraid of what's going on. That you don't worry. He's well able to take care of you. He's well able to look after you. That you don't have to try to fix everything. There's things that are out of your hands with other people. You ain't going to fix it.
Amen.
He has to, you gotta, and lots of times when we turn around and we quit trying to fix it, He can get His hands in it.
Yes.
We'll talk about some of them things later on concerning the ministry of Jesus. Is letting God fix things in our lives.
Amen.
You know, we always trying to, and I know we have that tendency to want to fix it.
Yeah.
I want to do it. Lots of times with people, you need to understand this. We're not good people fixers.
Amen.
Well, you know you're not. You didn't do good with yourself. I'm not a good people fixer. I'm proof. But God is.
Hallelujah.
He is a wonderful people fixer, and He can fix you and me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you. Because Lord God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And Lord God, I want to thank you that you're not against us. The word says, if God be for you, who could be against you? No matter what's going on with us, no matter what people are doing and saying, no matter what they do in coming against us, Father God, we're at rest with you. Hallelujah. You're well able to keep us. You're well able to uphold us. You're well able to cause us to overcome. Lord God, there's many voices and they're speaking many things and maybe many things in us. Things that are being said and done, but you're greater than all that's being said and done. You're a wonderful and gracious and good God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will sustain us. You will uphold us. You are the great keeper. Hallelujah. And you're well able to keep us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.